This is Committee of the Whole meeting, January 7th, 2013.
Yeah. Call Committee of the Whole to order at 7:24. Roll call.
Trustee Clements?
Present.
Trustee Newby?
Present.
Trustee Sandoval?
Here.
Trustee Simoncelli is absent. Trustee Trippin?
Present.
Trustee Wyszynski?
Present.
Okay, item 2.1 is approval of the minutes of the Committee of the Whole meeting of December 3rd, 2012.
So moved. Second.
Trippin, second by Wyszynski. Questions, comments, questions? Roll call.
Trustee Newby?
Aye.
Trustee Sandoval?
Yes.
Trustee Trippin?
Aye.
Trustee Wyszynski?
Aye.
Trustee Clements?
Aye.
Motion carries. Public comment for Committee of the Whole? None?
Can we do particular item public comment? Yeah, we were talking about it.
Whatever
we want.
Feel is appropriate, so.
So you don't say now?
Yes.
Trustee Surprise was discussing with the legislation that's in Springfield for medical, the use of medical marijuana. It's been on their docket for period of time. There's been other municipalities that have moved on resolutions directing their plan commissions that should the legislation pass and it become law, that at that moment plan commissions are directed to do a public hearing to determine if that use should be a special use. We looked at it, and my members and I thought about it, and really required no action on our part until the law is passed. If it would be passed, there's nothing that can be done anyway because you don't know what the law is going to in fact state. Currently, now there's a couple criteria associated with those facilities that are in the statute and then. What they're proposing or he's considering. One is there's only 1% of district that would be permitted. And, you know, our new redistricting, you know, our Senate district extends all the way from our northeast corner, you know, looking at South Wakanda, portion of Wakanda. It's a pretty big area to cover. There's also a limitation of 2,500 feet from a lot of different facilities, such as daycare facilities, schools, long-term care, and there's a couple other ones I don't recall right now. But those are some conditions that are currently in there that would then have to be evaluated by a plan commission down the road. Right now, as Mike and I talked about, right now, our zoning code would not permit something. We just don't have that type of use specified. And so at a minimum, it would require a text amendment. It would require a plan commission review to determine any conditions for that at that time. So, you know, without knowing what to review, there really was no need to do that. We don't see a need at this time to do a resolution stating that the plan commission is going to look at it because we would have to look at it at that time if it in fact passed. The deadline is tomorrow. They had a second reading on the docket today, but that's in the House. It's not even been over the Senate yet. So, Chief and I talked about it. I don't know, Chief, do you want to add anything else on it? Or
I know that there's a lot of equipment that we're passing. The likelihood is probably right now 50. We have a lot of bigger things. But between what I've read, they have a lot of other issues.
So, there's really no need for the board to take action. The only other thing that Mike and I thought about that might be applicable in their cases is they may have that requirement as part of their code where the board has to refer something for action to the plan commission officially, or they have the ability to do that. So that could have been part of the reason that they did do something like that. I did not look at that, but you know, some boards do have the requirement or excuse me, some municipalities had the requirement where they would revolt the board and has to refer to something officially for the planning commission to take action. So we're not recommending action at this time. We don't know what that would be in any case, but we feel that if that use, somebody would apply to that use, it would require a planning commission hearing at a minimum to determine what requirements would be in place. If, in fact, the law is passed, we'll take a look at it and see how that applies and bring in a recommendation forward if it does, in fact, pass. And ultimately, the board would still view if we still be have any final say in any recommendations on the ordinance, what would be done as far as zoning requirements or anything else in that nature. So, or to even pass an ordinance for any specific individual claim for that use. So ultimately, the if the state does not allow you to doesn't allow us to prohibit the use, then you would still have the control of how, if and how would be acceptable use in the village. Any other question?
I just thank you for being here, people.
Okay, no further discussion. No. And Public Works Facility, Captain Latt, Citizen Engineering.
Thank you. The Harris County Municipal League Cooperative Purchasing Program Initiative. My agenda item summary listed the project that a group in the Municipal League following a survey chose. Five infrastructure maintenance type projects, and as Mark and I have discussed, advantages and disadvantages, clearly we need some thoughts and guidance from the board as to should we become a participating member via a formal agreement, via a commitment letter. Or should we not? And if we do, is it for all five proposed work activities in infrastructure maintenance type activities or not? So as I struggle to, how do I explain this briefly, and we all will attend to mind. I felt the need to put something to paper to at least give a brief explanation of what led up to this, what the Lake County Municipal League intended process is, and then get into a discussion of this to our advantage or not. So the objective is clear, and I'm going to move through this very quickly. Potential cost savings to participating municipality. Another objective is upfront work done by a small group for the bidding of selected projects. Cooperative purchasing is not new. Materials, commodities have been a common user of or focus of a cooperative project. I mentioned again the five areas. Following a survey, which I responded to on her behalf, of a whole myriad of potential infrastructure work that a committee narrowed it down to these five projects and set about to put some specifications together. Mark and I have looked at those draft specifications for these various activities. More work is needed to get to an adequately defined set of specifications for the intended work. But that'll happen. A downside of common spec is we get Taylor's desire to work in Vietnam. Cannot tailor the specification for our own interests. We can put restrictions as other jurisdictions on like things like work now. That's not, in my mind, a showstopper because most infrastructure work has pretty defined specifications already. A lot of it comes from ITOT standards. Anyway, the municipal league would like commitment by those jurisdictions that are wanting to participate by the end of this month. That's not hard in the past. I have talked to Chris Gentes. If we need to go into, say, the second meeting in February, the first meeting in February, we can do that. They, we would bid out these projects. We, whoever we is, the participating community, would actually contract with the recommended bidder. And since these are union price contracts, and it's one bidding, the unit prices will be the same irrespective of where the work is done and where the and the magnitude of work. For example, if we want to go with crack sealing and the contractor that gets the job, they will have to give us the same unit price as Waukegan, as Libertyville, wherever. Yes. Could be to our advantage. Conversely, if we're the Western Outpost and they see a longer time, travel time for a smaller amount of work, could be to our disadvantage. I'll come back to this as the basic uncertainty issue in this whole initiative. So, the other thing before I get into advantages and disadvantages, work schedule, where in the pecking order, if I can say it that way, fall will be determined at a joint pre-construction meeting, i.e. the contract awarded for all municipalities that are participating. But we won't know until we come together with the contractor, let's say there's five communities total, where is the pecking order of work delivery we fall. Some concern about that if it's a late starting project and we're down towards the bottom of the list, having weather as an influencing factor may or may not be an issue. Can't say it is, can't say it won't. And the other thing caused me a little concern is, since it's multiple locations, the intention is not to have liquidated damages. So that caused me some concern as far as remedy should things just drag on due to going contractor fall. So what have I said? There's some definite advantages to a cooperative purchasing program. Presumably a lower cost for the fine work. The municipal league would do the upfront work for us. Specifications, bidding, advertising. Presumably a larger contractor with greater resources, likely to be the most responsive contractor, hopefully then whatever is taken on, they have made the larger contractor has the resources. Disadvantages, limited influence on the work schedule, no liquidated damages. We have to use the specification that ultimately resembled. I have some concern about resolving difficulties with the contractor, if there are such. And the last disadvantage that I see is a multiple smaller contractor that almost guaranteedly left out opportunity here. Again, the uncertainty factor, so again, what have I said? I think there's potential cost advantages to it. Therefore, I've got three recommendations, A, B, and C. A, I do recommend we take serious consideration of entering into the agreement with the municipal league for this cooperative purchasing program. I think we go slow, and Mark and I have some further discussion. My thought, and again, my thought is we only try the pavement marking, i.e. striping, for this 2013 session. And my rationale there, we talked back in September, we don't have the skills nor ability to do quality striping work, whether it's paint or thermal plastic. A presumed larger contractor taking on several municipalities will most likely have good equipment, trained people, experience, and give us a better quality product than us trying to find a contractor at a competitive price to do just our limited amount of strength. So that puts us in the game, if you will, and again, I would like Mark really offer his perspective. The other, on the very last page, the other four items, street sweeping, crack sealing, sewer cleaning, and tree trimming and removal, I'm inclined to want to sit out first, observe and monitor, and then buy in 2014 if the successes are made. Mark, tell me.
As Ron mentioned, we do have some time to look at it, and you know, my comfort level, I have to take questions as Ron, as far as the issues associated with it. There might be some more flexibility to work things out where we can determine if in fact it's something that we could be doing while we're involved with it, but allow us enough time to get out. Because we have 30 days exit at any time. My only thought was that we do have some time while we're working on specs together. We see clearly that it's not going to be appropriate, and you know, we exit at that time. So there may be some more options with the crack sealing and things of that nature. But you know, part of why we're at this point is because we don't know about the program enough about it. So to be comfortable to give you a good recommendation, other than the hope is there that there'll be some savings. And you'll, you know, the attachment to the agenda item summary provided you with what the committee from the municipal league used in looking at what should be done and is it worthwhile to try and do it. And they did in fact find that there were savings in the work, as you saw in that list in there. Various amounts, obviously, and different numbers of participants, but it's sort of the same to the program. So what I guess what you know we're asking is, you know, any comments, guidance that you do have, if any at this point, and questions that we can take back to that you might not have. But we'd also like to vet it some more so we can bring it back with a firm recommendation once we get some more of these questions answered, you know, from Ron and I and what the program accounts for. Some of the specs that we looked at are only rehash of specs from previous years and projects that were done. And they didn't, up to date, they haven't provided us with all those specs from, you know, painting, for example. So we haven't seen it. So we'd like some, you know, any guidance that you have, as I said, had some time to do some more homework too and come up with a more firm recommendation for you.
I think a couple of questions we need to ask from what I've seen hasn't been discussed. And I haven't heard at any of the meetings. Municipal League Legal Counsel. I'm assuming they have somebody that they go to occasionally, but review of contracts that the league would be entering in and asking each municipality to enter into, who would be doing that. There are several legal firms that are members. Are they going to volunteer their time? The same thing with professional design services. Would the member companies volunteer their time, or would there be shared costs? Does this fall under our annual dues? And if it does, then would the non-participating municipalities be a little bit upset about it? So some additional things to put that out as far as how the process will be done and where those costs will come from and be paid.
I can only answer a little bit of that, Mayor. In my discussions with Chris, I sought some clarification in the commitment letter. What does it mean? The municipality, after the identified recommended bidder, the municipality agrees to negotiate in good faith. I read that to mean we have been some opportunity to negotiate something with contractors. And Eric, I apologize. That came as a run from Chris from an attorney. So my definition of negotiating, and there were 30, so they have one, so we get what that means in that basis. Whether that legal counsel has construction and expertise, I don't know. But I'm happy to pursue those type of questions.
Yeah, that's a question we had too. Who's paying for the bids?
Right. Yeah. The concept of the location is a positive for sure, so we want to learn everything you can about.
So it appear that we're not, that even if we join, we're not compelled to utilize the joint services for all five. We can opt in or out.
We can pick and choose. And excuse me, if I might just add a little bit on that. We can say we're interested and we can pull the plug up to the point of the project going out to bid. Once it is public notification, these five communities are interested in the spring sweeping. The expectation is we then stay in the game.
And that's one of the questions, though. That's the expectation, but we're entering in the contract, so you still have the ultimate authority. So I don't. We have to find out how we reconcile that. Also, if we don't agree for whatever reason, you know, bids we rejected, but we can't like rebid it because we bid with everybody else. So yeah, those are questions, you know, on bidding processes to still be vetted.
Wasn't there a note someplace about if a municipality objects to the bidding, then it goes to the committee for discussion or something like that?
I'll try and elaborate. I don't remember reading that. Yes, if once bids are open, if we have a concern, whatever that might be, price is too high on this item, we can submit that concern in writing, and if the majority of the participating municipalities say we agree, then the whole bid is thrown out. If we're the lone ranger, and all the other participating municipalities say, yeah, maybe it's high, but I'm now, it's the nice thing to do, and I read that we're stuck, then as a participant. Maybe that choice of words, but.
Questions to ask. Okay, anything else on it?
Thank you.
Yeah, there's ongoing discussion with the municipal league, and as they get questions, they're trying to respond to them. Okay, Washington Street Sewer Lane.
Thank you. Yes, a little more definition in the agenda item summary. We have discussed this project 2 months ago, and Kurt Malvin and myself, if you recall, had some handout brochure for the intended cured employees liner, a fiberglass product that's heated and solidified in place. That's the product we are still intending to deliver. And as the board also recalls, we have a sanitary sewer that's been in place for a good number of years. It does have some cracking. It is salvageable. It should be lined, extend this line. And independent of that, the county is coming to town in 2013 to widen Washington Street substantially, and their policy is no underground utilities if there are viable alternatives. There's not a viable alternative for our sanitary sewer. So their language talks to that underground utility is in, I want to say, as good a condition as is reasonably achievable. But the second reason we should go forward with this, third reason we do have some inflow and infiltration problems, certainly in that part of the city and from our televising in our sanitary sewer, this liner will ameliorate. So it's virtually ready to go out the bid. I've got one more discussion with Baxter Woodman. And so based on the proposed schedule, we would like to go ahead and bid it out. With later this month, with bid opening February 12th, bringing it back to the board the results of that bidding at the February 18th meeting, hopefully with reasonable bids, good bids, and our timing seasonally is good. Award said cured in place liner, work start about mid-March to be completed by April 15th. The county's bid opening on the Washington Street Improvement Project is March 19th. And by the time they go through their process, their contractors ready to go, we will be done. And that's clearly the objective, so there not be a conflict between two different contractors. We would pay a substantial markup if a general contractor got this work and then subbed it out to a limited number of specialty contractors. So if you're thinking, well, maybe we should just have the county do this also. Mark and I have had those discussions. That's not to our advantage in this case. What questions might I ask, see the answer, if any, on this one?
There are none, so we'll move forward.
We don't require any formal approval on this. We're just letting the board know that we'll be moving forward with the process, unless there's any communication with that. Just keep everything on. I will point out, you see the the numbers there were, the project is in itself is higher than was budgeted just for that, but we do have sewer lining, we have there's money in the budget for sewer lining that will be used for this instead of establishing that program or doing any other sewer lining. So overall, based on the budget estimate, there may be a slight, it may be slightly higher than budgeted with all of those combined. Obviously, it would not be paid this fiscal year, but that's neither here nor there. The dollars may be higher based on projected, but we're hoping that, again, the unit price is coming lower. I think, Ron, right, we use conservative numbers for the unit prices, so the hope is that it's going to come in lower. But I just did want to point that out, that we did only have, I think, $50,000 set aside, $75,000 set aside for the Washington sewer lining, but as the televising was done, we found other problems and that need to be addressed based on looking at the piping. So, you know, we budgeted just based on some quantities, and now there's additional quantities too because of what the televising showed. And our maps didn't show a portion of the pipe. So the initial estimates were also done with, you know, our village maps that didn't include two blocks of sewer. So, but again, we're proposing to take the existing budgeted money from an existing stack project to do that lining, the Washington Street lining.
So whatever lining that we're planning to do will not get this?
This, we were planning to do anything specifically. That stag project is, it's been on our docket for a long time that we're having trouble getting going. I mean, budgeted money for stag stands for state and tribal affairs grants. There's significant money that you can get to do sewer lining, televising and lining through that grant program. And we budgeted, assuming we're going to get it done and apply, but we haven't completed that application process, nor have we completed trying to get people to work with us. So Ron is taking that under, you know, he's going to try and work with it. We're going to try and work with it together. I've got more names, so people to contact that have done this in the past. It's just that it was Ambassador Woodman's docket for a long time. They never got it done, so Ron and I are going to do it now. So, we're not foregoing anything. We had budgeted money to get that program going and hopefully do something, but that program's not in place yet.
Hey, Trustee Clement, I'd like to also try and answer your question. There's no sewer that we have identified that we want to come right behind this project and do a jury waste finding. Don't take total comfort in that. As you might recall, we do need to pick up the pace on cleaning and televising all the sanitary and the storm sewers and likely to identify some additional work.
But at this point, it's still an unknown. I mean, you
correct. Right.
So in your presentation back in September, you did identify some sewer work, that's what you're talking about now, is going in and inspecting it, televising
yes.
it.
Yes.
That will probably, to your point, produce some additional demand for lining, but at this point, we don't know that.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And my reward, I'm going to be a little lighthearted here, for not delivering a March request yet on the STAG program, and I got all the way here to do the inspection on this Washington Street project. I'm looking forward to that. Concentrated, so in delivery and specialty contractors with, we will have considerable pre-qualification requirements. That I feel we can, we public work, me having the ball, provide the construction management on this job rather than using Baxter and Woodman, and they know that.
Part of where we're at on this too is in the past the county has scheduled construction on Washington Street for 2014-15, and all of the local municipalities kept asking them to move up the project because it's a well-needed project, and so it's scheduled for construction in 2013, and they haven't started utility relocations already, so we got caught being behind on being ready, as I suggested several years ago might happen.
So these are all out of 2013, they'll have to start the paperwork?
Construction work is similar to the connection from town line to 120. It took a year and a half to complete. So as far as actual work, they have started utility relocation. And is it spring or early summer?
They opened 49 days. So my best judgment is May 1st at the earliest. Contractor started to mobilize and
and as far as scheduling what specific work will be done, there probably be a lot of utility work, storm sewer stuff before the pavement widening and things. And we've got bike path and sidewalk.
It'll be bike lanes, curb and gutter, sidewalk. Three lane section, i.e. a turn lane in the middle. So substantial widening, and it is road reconstruction. So it will be a major improvement, and hopefully it's well organized from a work execution, so traffic management and not a community.
Along with county work, have we heard any more about the Cedar Lake sidewalk?
They are doing their field survey, and I think they've done Dane County DOT. Project manager with Albert Huntsfield, which he's back, so I will follow up, see if they have yet taken a position on sidewalk, the back curve, or separated, plus the other question. I'll get back to you.
Want to make sure they know we're not trying to hold them up.
No, they know we're desiring to be in this one.
Yeah, I hope so. We have work to do on GIS2 and the sun. On the next project list, we have gotten that too. That's one of the aspects of updating the plan. So I know they can pen some copies too of those things, but we have to. We have work to do in that area.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, wheel loader.
Thank you. Very briefly, in public works department perspective, you have a piece of equipment that can do substantial loading of material, such as salt, such as snow, and aggregate in plant and reactionary work on water main grade. And so, as indicated, there is split between water and sewer, total of $25,000 in the current fiscal year budget to purchase a front end loader. A new front end loader of the size we would desire, over 100 horsepower with a 2.5-3 cubic yard bucket. A new one could easily be over $140,000. We are not a construction company. We don't need a new loader. But to get the most benefit out of it, we do believe a sizable loader is appropriate. Mark has challenged me to assess the need to own one versus to rent or lease. I tried in a summary sense in the last discussion paper to address that. And even went to approaching some of the construction companies in this area, those that are willing to help us in the snow emergencies, would they entertain leasing one to us for 3 or 4 months in the winter, left at Public Works facility, us trained operator. Only one was interested in doing that, and $5,000 a month, from my perspective, not attractive. Renting, leasing one from a Hearst equipment is in the $3,300 to $3,800 a month range. So, if a piece of equipment that I cannot tell you is going to be used every day, but it will definitely improve our efficiency, and when needed, it's something that will substantially help us get work done. And then, so would like the authority to go forward to seriously find a used front-end loader that is a reasonable condition, and have under Mark's signature the authority to purchase one up to and not to exceed dollar amount of $70,000. That does not mean I'm shopping at the upper end. The mayor and I have had several discussions. We have looked at a few. And actually operated one up in Wisconsin that was down to $25,000 range. Fairly old, had some maintenance, but too small a bucket, only like a 2 cubic yard bucket. Our backhoe loader combination to 1.1 cubic yard bucket. But it's the only real piece of equipment we have, and so it's out on water main rig if I need something back at the shop to load aggregate so that we're in a sort of a continuous motion operation and fixing a water main rig. Happy to answer any questions that might have.
There was one a year ago when we were looking at the six-wheeler at the auction as well. That went for about $37,000 that we thought was in reasonable condition and serviceable for our needs for a while. We had discussed with the board the idea of pursuing that if we weren't successful in bidding on a truck or went beyond our approval. That one still went above what we had discussed on. So that kind of woke us up to the range we needed to be in for something that was in decent condition and that size.
So, Ron, my own question is, you mentioned in the summary that you'd have to give up the box stand that we had in the budget. What's the impact of that?
Not much. We have had a trailer, an enclosed trailer, that we have pulled most of our water main components, tools, equipment in. My new employee, who came from Libertyville, I gave him the task recognize the yield sign, and he did a very good job on limited amount of money, building a bench, building some shelves. So my long answer to your question is I'm satisfied we can all around what we need with that trailer and a truck that's taking it out to the job site, i.e. we don't need that box van, at least for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Thank you. Other questions, comments?
Thank you.
Consensus to move it forward? Okay, move that forward to board approval. Final item under administration is I have traffic signal upgrade request.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, what we have for you is information from IDOT, and it's agreement where the village would participate in cost to upgrade traffic signals that for which we utilize for village roads. If you look at page one of the agreement, the lights that we have village right away include Illinois Route 60 Cedar Lake Road and Harbor Road and 134. IDOT received a grant to do upgrades to the signals with both LED technology as well as uninterruptible power supplies. And our portion of what would be a $103,000 project, which includes other lights for which you don't have to pay, but they're, you know, within the or near the village limits. Out of the $103,000, approximately $104,000 program, our responsibility would be $2,587.50. It is something new and it was not budgeted. They need an answer in November by the end of the month or they will just pass through comment. We think for $2,800, it's a pretty good upgrade to get, at a minimum, the uninterruptible power supplies, because they'll operate those lights in the event of a power outage for a limited period of time. But for at least that period of time that they have the capability, they will be able to operate those lights, and that currently does not exist. LED technology does exist at 62 Lake Road, and at that location, they're just going to install the UPS. HART does not have any LED lights, so that will lose the sight of those lights and visibility at that location there, too, as well as installing the UPS at that location, too. So we're asking the board to consider that for approval of the next move.
Lake County went through a year or 2 years ago and switched out all of their bulbs to LED signals for energy conservation, and I think power consumption also for the backups, uninterrupted backup gave them a longer time capability with that, so it's a good program.
LEDs are more expensive. This does not appear to affect any of our budgets.
No, that's correct.
Suggested new topics. Going once.
No, I talked to the speaker. We're going to delay the start discussion until the next meeting.
That's good. Executive session. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
And followed by Trippin. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.